I'd like to greet you all in Jesus' name. God is good. I am thankful for the privilege of being here. And I think a lot of you, well, this past week has been kind of a full week. We had three different people that we were engaged with or involved with, whether it was a viewing or a funeral. And to end the year out with all these deaths, it kind of makes you realize that I told different people this. I said, every death is a reality check. It kind of helps you realize we won't live forever here. And the one person actually was my age. I mean, he had some complications, but he was the same age as I was. And it kind of makes you think, because, hey, I have no promise of tomorrow. And with that being said, there was a lot of interesting things that happened in regards to these viewings. And I would like to try and touch that throughout the message if we could. I was made to think that we're living in the land of the dying, and we're actually going into the land of the living. Because people don't, we forget too often that we're not here forever, this place. But we will be eternally, we're going to be somewhere. And that's, we're going to have we have a living soul that's going to be going on and on and on. And I thought about, I could draw a line across here, you know, go the whole way across this board. And I think I illustrated it before. And if I would have a little bit of a speck on this line and say, that's time. And that's eternity past and that's eternity future. And I'm saying time from the standpoint of Genesis to when the second coming. That should give us a little bit of an idea how small time is. Because it would go on and on and on. So, I have a, you all know that I have a chicken house, okay? And in this chicken house, we have a nest that goes down the center. It's like 400 feet. And I go, every day, I go down around like this, the nest. And I check the nest to, excuse me, I look for boards that were off, I look for dead birds, I look for eggs on the floor, you know, different things that I do. And sometimes when I'm going down this side, I find a dead bird. And so instead of carrying it the whole way around, I throw it on the other side of my nest, which is flat. And so I can come around and, you know, as you get older, you learn to work smarter and not harder. So I didn't want to carry these birds the whole way around, so I throw them on the other side. And this has happened over and over and over, that I have to keep my head together, these birds on the other side that I threw over, these dead birds. Because when I'm walking back through and I'm looking at the nest and the floor and everything, I mean, I miss it. And you know why I miss it? All these birds are over this dead bird. It's like the last viewing. And I'm thinking to myself, wow. And I think about this past week with all these viewings we had. We spent, a lot of people come together these do their last viewing. And the thought struck me, more so this week, why is it we spend all this time at this time, we should be giving them some time while they're living. You understand what I'm saying? And that struck me because, anyway, I usually find out where they're at, but when I see a whole huddle of birds, I look and I thought, oh, there's that dead bird. He was underneath the pile of these live birds. So my challenge to myself is we need to visit each other. We need to connect with each other. We need to encourage each other while we're living. Because after we're gone, you can't talk to him anymore. I can't talk to my dad anymore. I'd love to. There's different times I'd like to ask him about our history. I can't. And my father wasn't really a writer, so he didn't write this stuff down. So I got, and my children are saying that I should figure out where we're at. And I said, well, I know we came from abroad. But anyway, I'm just trying to think that we need to communicate. Otherwise, we're going to lose it. So another thing I wanted to mention today is do you know what that is? Yeah, it's this. December 31st, 2023. That's never going to happen again in your lifetime. That date is here. That's now. And it's not, you're not going to be able to experience that date anymore. And so the interesting thing is that when we go through life, technically that's the way every day is. Every day is here and gone. My nephew sent me that, and I'm not into numbers, but he said something about it means something special or something great is going to happen. And I said, well, Lord can come anytime. That's kind of what I was hoping. And we don't know that. But my cry is time. Time is short. Time has a way of getting away from us, and we're not going to pass this way again. And I would, this past week, I have songs going in my head. Thank you, Titus. I would like if you'd turn to Zion's Praises. And this song went through my mind over and over. And before I want you to sing it. We're going to sing this. 18 in Zion's Praises. But I want you to, I really, really want you to think of the words that we're singing. I lift my heart today in praise to him who loves me so, whose mercy crowneth all my days and makes my cup overflow. Oh, have I loved him as I should for all his blessings free. Praise God who giveth naught but good, for he is good to me. The verse that stands out to me, it's the second verse towards the end here, third stanza. Okay, I thank him for the hopes fulfilled, for every answered plea, that though life was not all I willed, my God is good to me. There's people here, and there's people who passed on this past week who had experiences in their lives who were not good. It was not good. But God was still good to them. Let's sing this song, and you think of the words as we sing it.
Lift my heart today in praise to him who loves me so, whose mercy crowneth all my days and makes my cup overflow. Oh, have I loved him as I should for all his blessings free. Praise God who giveth not but good, for he is good to me.
Thank you. I'll say it again. An attitude of gratitude will give you altitude in life. Now, I came across this poem that it echoes the various people that were buried this past week. It says, The most beautiful people are those who have known defeat, known suffering, known struggle, known loss, and have found their way out of the depths. These persons have an appreciation, a sensitivity, an understanding of life that fills them with compassion, gentleness, and a deep loving concern. Beautiful people do not just happen. And as we were going through the various funerals, it came out different things in their past that you're like, you never knew about that. And I still remember a sister who, her father left the family, her mother died, and she was handed to her aunts, and she was she became a deacon's wife, and she was just a very compassionate, loving prayer warrior that I'm amazed at. But I did not know her history. I did not know her past. And she was one of those beautiful people. So when you face struggles and trials, and you have God, and you keep God in the center of that scenario, you're going to come out a better person than if you moan and groan and complain and murmur. It won't happen. You won't become beautiful. You probably become bitter. Anyway, I was thinking of asking Vlad to read. You can turn to Ecclesiastes 3. I like Vlad to read the first 9 verses. And as he's doing that, I like to write something on the board. So Vlad, could you please read that?
For everything, there is a season, a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up those planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to tear, and a time to sue. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace. What gain has the worker from his toil? That's the verse 9.
Verse 9. After going through all those times, you realize the importance of time. And we have time in the past, we have a time in the present, we have a time in the future. And there's a reason why we call time. I say this often, we thank God it's Sunday, but I thank God for every day. And the reason is time is a gift. Time is a gift that God has given for each one of us. There's another poem I'd like to read that has meant a lot to me. And it goes like this. I have only a minute, only 60 seconds in it. Forced upon me, I can't refuse it. I didn't seek it, I didn't choose it. But it's up to me to use it. I must suffer if I lose it. Give account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it. And I'm touching time just for a little bit because I want to move into something else that I'm hoping that we can tie these two thoughts together. Well, we mentioned here that the first one, we have time is temporal, and that means it's limited, it's short. when you you need to take time for something that's important, it'll just disappear, just like the poem said. It's going to be gone. But we're going to, in James 4, 14, says life is a vapor. And I think most of us who've seen a tea kettle and seen the vapor disappear, that's what time is like. It just vanishes, it disappears. And thank you, Vlad, for that reading. The other thing about time, it's very important. It's valuable. It's special. We know that we sing this song in regards to time that we, and that is, teach me, O Lord, to number my days. That song talks about how short life is as well, because, you know, some people are promised, you know, 70 years and 10, but some people don't. They don't even live to 20. They don't live that long. And then there's others that go into the 90s. I think yesterday at Dev's mother's funeral, there was a man that was 98 or something like that, and he's doing strong, which, you know, not everybody has that blessing. Anyway, so time is also marvelous, and that goes back to the gift of God aspect. And we read Ecclesiastes 3:1-9. That's what time is. And lastly, time is actually the entrance into eternity. And I would like to read, if you would turn with me to Ephesians 5. There's a few verses here I'd like to read. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. It says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, or unclean person, or covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, drunk with wine, wherein it's speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. We see here that time is very precious. Time is a gift. Time is valuable. Time is short. Also, the interesting thing is, the question is, in this space called time, you're going to be either spending your time in darkness or in light. If you look at these verses in 3-7, it describes all the darkness, fornication, whoremongers, uncleanness, and it says don't get deceived with people who give you vain words, or I'd say flattering words. Be very careful. But when we live in the light, which we have in as I am the light of the world. And the question is there anyone else that's a light? Is there only light that we have, Jesus? Is there, what other light is there in the world? Anyone?
Jesus says we're the light of the world.
Right. Exactly. All right. At least we're on the same page. And the interesting thing is, in Matthew 5, this is Sermon on the Mount, if we turn to Matthew 5, there's two verses here I'd like to read. 14 says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put under the bushel, but on the candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So what's the purpose of our light? To give glory to God. That's why we're here. And Satan is very subtle, because he would like to try and put some of his darkness into this light. And there are people who are, in quotes, religious, and they are being darkened because they're proud in this religion. Do you understand what I'm saying? And it does not, it's not coming out right. The light is not bright, because the light needs to reflect Jesus Christ. I like to look at it this way, that, you know, we know the sun is our main source of light in the universe. And technically, what reflects that light? We had full moon here the other night. I mean, it was really bright. So the moon reflects the sun. And technically, we are a reflection of the sun, of Jesus Christ. And if the thing that strikes me is, if we don't spend time in the light, we're going to get dirty. We're going to get dark. We're going to get messed up. And I think about that when we have that true reflection, God gets the glory. It's not us. The thing that I would like you to turn to, and this is in Matthew 26. If you would turn to Matthew 26, there's some verses here, and we are going to read a little bit of a portion here. Matthew 26, verse 36. It reads like this. This is in regards to Jesus going to the Garden of Gethsemane. It says, Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go to pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and said, Peter, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again, the second time, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, and thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them, and went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then came he to his disciples, and said unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man betrayed to the hands of the sinners. Rise, let us go. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came with him a great multitude with swords and staves, with the priests, chief priests, and the elders of the people. And now he that betrayeth him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant and the high priest and smote off his ear. Then Jesus said, Put up again thy sword unto this place, for For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I can now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled? And thus it must be. In the same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, Are ye come out against a thief with swords and staves to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hands on me. But all this was done that the scripture of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Let's read the next portion. And they that laid hands on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off in the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought false witnesses against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. And the last came two false witnesses and said, This fellow said, I'm able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest rose and said unto him, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witnesses against thee? But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast said, Nevertheless, I say unto you, Hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, He hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now we have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? Then answered and said, He is guilty of death. And then did they spit on his face, buffeted him, and others smote him in the palms of their hands, saying, Prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? I don't think we realize what Jesus went through. But the thing I would like to pull out here in this portion that I'm hoping we can learn a lesson from, it was brought to my attention this past week that Gethsemane. Jesus went to the Gethsemane often. And the Gethsemane, what it means is oil press. That's what the Gethsemane means, oil press. And when you put the perspective in place, Jesus went there technically to find more oil, to find more life, to find more strength, to find more power. And the thing that strikes me, he went there to get strength and power. And the question is, how do you get that? How do you do that? And the thing that strikes me, when he he got strength because he emptied himself. It was a full surrender. He held nothing back. He said, Lord, I want your will to be done in my life. I'm fully surrendered, whatever you want. That's where he got his strength. He got his power through his prayer with his Father. And my cry to us is that if we want strength and we want power to be a part of this light that God has given us, we need to be empty of ourselves, and we must have a relationship with God in a real way. And it's not just once or twice a week. I mean, it's every day. It's a daily walk, a daily prayer life, a daily connection. Because if we don't have that, Satan's going to disrupt us and destroy us quicker than you can think. So we need that relationship. There's an acronym I use for light, and that light is LIGHT, is living in God's holy truth. If we are living in the light, and that light is Jesus, God's going to get the glory, not us. And my cry to each one of you is when we face hardships, when we face trials, when we face struggles, we need to be close to the light. We need to go to the oil press. And we need to just totally surrender ourselves. I have a daughter-in-law that sent this to me. And the thought was, this is I. In other words, it's a self-centered person. I'm trying to think where I put my red one. Oh, there it is. Anyway, a self-centered life, it's all about me. But when you meet Jesus, when you get crossed with Jesus, self is emptied. There's no self there anymore. Your self-centered life is gone. It's scratched out. Self is scratched out, and Christ is exalted. And my cry to each one of us is I scratched out in your life? Have you experienced this relationship with the light, which is Jesus, so that you can then reflect that light for God's glory? The I want us to consider communion ahead of us. There's some things that communion should be to us. If you remember, there's a word that's used a lot, says remember. Remember. We need to remember Jesus' suffering and death. We need to remember his example of unselfishness. We need to remember that we find new life and light in Jesus Christ. We need to remember that it's important for us to have a personal daily walk with Jesus. Otherwise, you're not going to make this week. You're not going to be able to make it. There's going to be things coming into your path. Remember that poem, Beautiful People? They're the ones that came, they were the people that came through those low times, and they will be able to stand out for God's glory. And also, we need to remember that God has given us this promise of him coming back for us. And every time we take communion, it should remind us and help us remember the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. Yesterday, I visited my brother-in-law, and I have this little bit of a quirk about might have a bad winter. I told him I'll tell him better in April. But I said there's a lot of things that have happened that makes it implied that we could have a good winter. And he kind of scoffed it off. He just, come on, I don't. And I told him about the apples that Blessings of Hope got, 200 trail loads they got, and all the nuts that are around trees, and how the berries, and how the honey is being produced, and all these things. And I said, God takes care of his own. And he scoffed this. And then after he did that, I said, yeah, I guess they said Jesus is coming, but yeah, it might not happen either. I was rubbing it the wrong way, a little bit. And I said, the fact is, Jesus is coming. And the fact is, we will be taking every day, one day at a time. But the thing I want to make sure is, am I where God wants me to be? Am I plugged in? Am I relating with Jesus Christ on a daily basis? It's a little bit like, I said this before, you can go to the White House, you can go and say, hey, I want to see Biden, whatever, and if you won't go, it's more important for him to know you than you to know him. It's a little bit with Jesus. It's the same way. It's more important that Jesus knows you. It doesn't matter if you know Jesus. Everybody can say that they know Jesus. The devil said they believe it. But when Jesus knows you, he knows you because you live out his word. You live out his light in your life. Living in God's holy truth, he knows you. And you must keep that alive in your life if you want to come out right. I have... came across this past week, we had some words that really stood out to me. And some of you will remember this. And it told me, it talks about the people that have been buried. And the question I like to ask, as we face another year, will you show a life of faithfulness? Will you show a life of grace? Will you show a life of giving? Those three words stood out to me this past week. They said, this person, he was a faithful person. This person was a giving person. This person was a gracious person. And the question is, are we reflecting those attributes so that the world can see God in us? There's a poem. It says, Jesus is my light. Though my days may be filled with trials and despair, I can always find hope saying a silent prayer. For the Lord always has a listening ear. He never is far away, but constantly near. Whatever trouble this life may bring, through Christ I can overcome anything. He makes my heart rejoice and gladly sing. He is my refuge, my rock, my heavenly King. He feels my sorrows and wipes my tears away. He gives me strength to get through all the day. In my time of need, he comes to my rescue without delay. He makes me stand firm when the trouble comes my way. Though through every trial and obstacle and plight, I lean upon him to help me win the fight. In my darkness hour, he shines his guiding light. I want to keep him always in my sight. My prayer to you is, keep the light in you. Keep the relationship alive. Because we have no idea. My wife and I were saying about this yesterday in regards to John. It doesn't sound good. It doesn't look good. So my thinking is, maybe you should visit him while he's still alive. It'd be a good idea. Because I don't want us to be those chickens over and over a dead body and you forget what it's all about. There's one more thing, and that is, how many know the children's song, Jesus Wants Me for a Sunbeam? Let's sing it.
Jesus wants me for a sunbeam.